Welcome to the Fantasy Golf Degenerates Podcast.
Jordan Bell's third. Jordan Bell's third. Yo, yo. Jordan Belfort, stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds. Sipping on Ciroc, trip them up with the words. I done popped the molly and I think it's be my third. Jordan Belfort, Jordan Belfort. I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort. Jordan Belfort, I've been getting dirty money, Jordan Belfort. Stacking penny stocks while I'm flipping these birds.
What's going on, DGen Nation? Kenny Kim here, bringing you another Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast this week for the Genesis Invitational. As usual, I am here with my partner in crime, everyone's favorite Canadian, Tyler Tambourine. Tyler, how you doing this week?
I'm doing good, Kenny. It's another huge week ahead of us. I'm excited. This, you know, you and I were just talking a little bit off air, but this event is going to be sick. It's almost like an extrapolated Masters in a sense, where it's got a bigger field, but you know, some of the guys don't matter as much. And it's kind of like that in the Masters too. I shouldn't say that, but yeah, huge field, a big top three. We're going to get to all that, but how was your AT&T Pebble Beach Pro-Am? How'd that go? Cause I know I will say one thing first. What pissed me off, we'll get to mine, but I said, don't play DJ, play Spieth. I said, play Berger, McNealy, all these guys that get up there, but I don't have any of my Canadian guy, Nick Taylor. I'm pissed about that.
The Canadian win right there. It was big for him. I mean, he just balled out, dude. I was really impressed with what he did. He came in Thursday or Sunday with the lead. I think a pretty hefty lead going in to Sunday, and then he just kept the pedal to the metal. Now he sort of went through a little phase in the middle of the round where it got a little tougher because, of course, Pebble Beach, after you get past the first seven holes, the course gets a lot tougher, and that's what happened. He did what he had to do in those first seven holes to keep his lead intact and just held on to the end. And you saw, even though Phil caught up with him at one point in time, you know, he actually went down a little bit after the seventh hole, and it was tough conditions on Sunday. I didn't watch as much of the tournament as I normally do. Had some personal things going on, nothing bad. Just been really hectic lately, so I didn't get to watch a lot of the golf that I normally do. But just looking back at it, looking through the scorecards, I mean, it looked like it was a brutal day on Sunday. I think I counted only 11 golfers that shot under par on Sunday with those winds whipping. I mean, Pebble could play extremely tough, and that's what we saw. Other golfers that did pretty well. I mean, look at Phil going out there. I didn't think he had a chance, but he did. He came in third in Saudi the week before, and he came through on a course where he normally always comes through. That tends to happen at Pebble. You saw it with Jason Day as well, another guy who, no matter what the form is, always plays well at this type of event. We saw our man Maverick McNealy do a little backdoor top 10, a guy I've been preaching all season long. Now, personally for me, it was a horrible week again. I mean, I only got 2 of 4 through of my cash game cornerstones. You know, the last few weeks, I think I've had 3 of 4, 3 of 4, and now 2 of 4. So it hasn't been the best. But looking back, none of the guys that missed the all before my guys that missed the cut were $8,900 or more. So I'm missing up top, which is strange. It doesn't usually happen that way. Usually it's the bottom pick. So hopefully I can get that down a little bit easier this week with the strength of the field that we have, you know, going down to like, you know, in the mid to 7,000s. There's plenty of guys that are rosterable when it comes down to it. But yeah, personally, another losing week. Now I look back and I tend to struggle in California and on the West Coast, like Phoenix and in the 3 Cali events in the beginning of the year. I look back, I do not have a winning record in those events the last 4 years. So maybe that's an issue. And then once you get past the California thing, move to Florida, my record picks up a bunch. I mean, last year I had a 75% win percentage in cash, and I think I only went 2-2 for 2, during this time. Two wins, 2 losses in the California Waste Management Phoenix Open. So I struggle on these things. I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Maybe it's just, you know, variance and just the way it goes. I'm not really sure. Hopefully I can get back to better at this final event in California, which I actually have done a little bit better than the other ones. So we'll see how it goes. Looking forward to this week. How did you do last week? You couldn't hit that one, right? You had all the guys.
It's insane. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It just is what it is, man. I wasn't high on Taylor. Obviously, I know Taylor, but I wasn't high on Streelman, even though he had good course history. I wasn't high on Phil because he had good course history. And then it was all like, you know, I had Day over Snedeker. I love Berger, McNeely, Lanto, you know, Jordan Spieth, Cantlay all over him. And then the DJ full fade in the $5. Like, you'd think at least I'd make some money, and it just didn't happen. I did sneak out a win in the three man, and my biggest prediction of the week, which we said it could happen with a, you know, a 3-day cut event, but the 444 was won by a 4 out of 6 lineup, and the big $5 with 124,000 people. Shout out to Zoltar. I think he got first and third. This guy Zoltar something other, but you know, I don't know the numbers behind it. But anyway, he got first and third, and he had a 5 out of 6 in both of them with Scott Stallings missing the cut. I get it. It's one day, like you said, lots of weather. There was plenty of weather on Sunday. But that, you know, a 4 out of 6 in the 444, it just shows, man. I think it's actually still going to happen this season in a standard 2-day cut event. But that's just my prediction. But it was cool to see. It just goes to show, like I said, doesn't matter what you got up, you know, what you got right throughout there. You still need the Taylors, the Streelmans, the Mickelsons. If you don't have those, you're dead. And that's just what happened to me. So slightly down week, finally got a win in the three man. So I'll take the high road and just say that. But you know, I'll take that for this week, and we'll move on to this week and go back at it again.
Well, one quick question: what do you think of Spieth? He came through with the backdoor top 10, shot the best round of the day on Sunday. Now, here's the issue. I was on Pat Mayo's show last week. We were talking all topics golf. It hasn't been released yet. He's probably going to release it later this week or next week. And Spieth was a topic of conversation during the podcast. And I said that I thought he was done. I thought he had no chance, you know, to come back. You know, when we look back on his career, it's going to be a disappointment. Now, his performance on Sunday worried me a little bit, but was it just a one? What do you think? Do you think for him this is something that he can build on, or is this a one round thing for him? Because I'm not really sure what to think.
Yeah, I'm on your take, and we're going to get to that anyway. He's definitely going to come up this week. You know, he's been priced up a little bit, but whatever. But you know, he's right there, fair price for this week. The course history thing last week, I mentioned that because I liked him for that reason. I thought if there was a spot, he could spark it. Now this week is kind of similar to Pebble, where the course form, course fit matter. But I think recent form matters way more here, and more than just one event, like you just said, for him to show up. And that's just because this course can really bite you. I know Pebble can too with the weather, but they didn't even really see the weather till Sunday. And on top of that, hence why Nick Taylor can go wire to wire on a 3-course rotation, you know, and play in the weather on Sunday and still sneak it out by 4 strokes. But this weekend, I don't see that. I see you're going to have the complete game all the way through, and it's going to matter more. Whereas if you get off to a hot start on Thursday, it's not going to be the same. You can still get eaten up in one day. And I don't see that with Spieth. A relatively fairly known gentleman, I won't name names, messaged me just before I got on the pod and said he's doing it. He's going after Spieth this week. And I said, man, I'll send you a link for charity, because that's where I would put that money before I would even each way it at 55-1. So maybe those words bite me now on a podcast, and it's going to be out sooner than your podcast with Mayo, which I'm pumped to hear. He said he was going to have you on. I want to see that. It's going to be awesome. But yeah, I don't see it with Spieth, man. I'm not going to be there this week. I'll be off of him. And I got a T3PO teaser there that you've already let out for me.
All right, well, here's the one thing. You know, when it comes down to Spieth, he usually does have like one good round every time he goes out. Usually it's the first or second round. You know, he goes out there, balls out. That's not something new. That for him to have like that one really good round in an event this week, it just happened to be in the last round. And it happened to be on a day where the scoring average was very high. I think it was 2 or 3 strokes over par. So he beat the field average by like 10 strokes or 8 strokes, 9 strokes, something like that. So, you know, I think for my sake, I'm hoping it's just a one round thing, because I'm going to sound like an idiot on the podcast if he comes in, especially if he releases it this week and then Spieth goes out and balls out. So I'm hoping, we'll see how it goes, but I'm definitely worried a little bit more about my take than I was prior to Sunday. All right. So let's move on to the Listener League. Tam, why don't you tell us a little bit more about the Listener League before we get into our Listener League winner from last week?
Sure. Yeah, we rolled it out the same way. Guys, we did the same exact thing. 2,500 people, $5 three max, 18% gets paid. Last place doubles their money. First gets 1,500. 10th gets 150. People really like it. I want to comment quickly on two things. One, the rake mentioned a little bit last week. The payout percentage, 18%. People have asked, why can't we get it to 24, 25%? We could. We just prefer not to. And we're just being open and honest about it. Like I say, you know, I mentioned a couple times to guys on Twitter, from both accounts, just to make sure everyone got the word. We used to pay 2% I mean, it's a GPP. The goal is to win it all and the glory, right? You want to get on. You want to pour that crown out with Kenny, three men, everything. You want to get on there and get into, you know, we're going to have a huge contest at the end of the year for all the Listener League winners. So, you know, Kenny gives you guys the cash game cornerstones. They're solid, rock solid year over year. I think most people that are going to want to hit those big cash rates can go play cash games and do 50-50s and stuff like that. I'm not trying to turn you away. It's a no rake, 18% solid. I like it. I think it's good. And the biggest thing is some people want a bigger first prize. So we're trying to accommodate both sides of the spectrum, and I think it suits it quite well. We're going to keep it that way. We want to grow it much bigger, obviously, by the time the Masters comes around. And we're going to just ask you guys for help. You know, Kenny asks at the end of the podcast always, can you give us review, rating, 5-star, etc. It helps us for sure. It keeps the podcast free. Keeps it rolling for you guys. We have no issue with that. But spread the word. Retweet it. Get your entries in. I know you don't want to miss it. Retweet it. Spread it. We're going just in reverse of what some of the other podcasts do, where we will put the link out there. That's the second piece, where we're okay with it. We think you sharing the Listener League may get people to actually listen to the pod. And there's a lot of folks out there that don't know about us. We'd like to keep spreading that word. So that's my two things on it, Kenny, for this week. Do you have anything to add?
You better get in quick because it's like 1,800 spots are already filled. Yeah. Out of the 2,500. We're recording this at, it's 11:15 Eastern Standard Time on Monday night. And it's about 4/5 of the way filled. So, yeah. You know, get in on Mondays, guys.
It'll be bigger next week. With that said, we wanted to try, you know, last week, just so you guys know, it was trickling at 2,300 to 2,500. I'm not sure what that was. Obviously, this is a way better field. There's way, you know, as far as strength of field and guys in it, 9 of the world's top 10 right now, OWGR rankings. And then you've got also these big tournaments, which, you know, there's a huge $20, 150 max. There's a $100, 133 max. Like, there's some big tournaments this week, the 555 for those of the bigger bankrolls. But I think this was important to me. And like I said, we wanted to make sure we could prove to them. And now you guys have killed it, and we appreciate you for that. DJ Nation, everyone sharing it. It's already up, like Kenny said, 1,800 out of the 25. Next week will be minimum 3. And like we said before, we want there to be glory there. We know it's harder to win now. We get that. But doesn't that mean more when you have the cash, the three man, the contest at the end of the year, and you get to say you won this contest against all these people in a 3-max event? I think it's huge. So I love it, Kenny. If nothing else to add, we can move on to the winner of this week, Goad 84. What do you got?
All right, so his lineup this week, he had 554.5 points total. He had Jason Day, who I loved last week. He was my one and done. 100.5 points, finished in fourth place, 19.64% owned in the Listener League. He had Phil, 3.36% owned, 113 points, finished in third. Alexander Noren, a guy I loved this week, 24% owned, 71 points, finished in 32nd. Max Homa, who's been playing exceptionally good golf, and it looks like it's not stopping anytime soon. I didn't know if it was a trend or if it was just luck, but he's been playing good golf for the past month and a half. 18.12% owned, 73 points, 14th place. He had the winner, Nick Taylor, 139.5 points, 3.56% owned, and he had Zach Sucher, who missed the cut, so he won with 5 of 6.
There you go.
At 1.12% owned. Zach still had almost 50 points. So, I mean, again, it was a three-day cut, so that made a big deal. What do you think of the lineup?
Yeah, I like it. The Zach Sucher is kind of funny. Like you said, makes it a 5 out of 6. He also, you know, I saw someone post a tweet about it. He manned up and went out for the fourth round with his pro-am partner, right? So just, you know, another thing, he's the people's guy, right? The DFS darling that we want to try and get down to the Honda with us, which is coming up for everybody. The DFS Open is just a very short couple weeks away now, so excited about that to get everyone together. But, yeah, overall, Goad 84 crushed it. Like you said, Day, we liked. Homa, I stuck with. You know, both, I think Homa and Day were two of my T3POs last week that I was on. They were up there a little bit in ownership, but I think, you know, when you balance it out and he's got Phil, Nick Taylor at 3.6%, it just goes to show, as we mentioned, build that upside into your lineups, because as long as you get the winner, you can get away with a 48.5 Zach Sucher. So I think it's a solid lineup overall. He's already been invited to the league and accepted for the end of the year, and we'll get him in the three-man for this week. So shout out, Goad 84.
All right, so before we get into this week, let's talk about GupsCorner.com. Use promo code DGEN10. Save yourself 10% on a Gups Corner subscription. One of the best sites in the biz for fantasy, for betting, for every sport that you can think of. The Slack chat in the golf is amazing with about 2,000 members. We're always on there. Tambo's on there all the time. Me, Gup, or Tambo, we're always on there at some point in time talking, helping the people, helping our subs, or trying to help our subs. Sometimes it doesn't go well. I can attest to that one. But, you know, it also has, you know, the new tools, which are, you know, grinding in the form. They're looking really sharp now, getting better and better and easier to use week in and week out. They have, you know, ownership projections, my article, Tambo's article, And then again, once again, it's not just golf. You get every single sport available when you sign up using promo code DGEN10 on GubsCorner.com. All right, so let's get to this week. It's a great tournament this week. The PGA Tour stays in California as the best golfers in the world head the Riviera Country Club for the Genesis Invitational. Now, this event has changed a bit this year as it now has the Invitational label, meaning only 120 golfers are in the field instead of the 140 or so the event has usually had over the years. The cut is still top 65 in ties, so in theory, it should be easier to get 6-6 through the cut, of course, in theory. The size of the greens notwithstanding, many people compare this course to Augusta, and correlations have been made between golfers that perform well at Augusta and golfers that perform well here. Other than James Hahn 5 years ago, every other golfer that has won this tournament in the last 28 years has finished inside the top 22 at the Masters at some point in their careers. Also, 18 of the last 30 winners at Riviera have either won or come in second at Augusta at some point in their careers. Riviera Country Club is a 7,350-yard par 71 course with four par threes and three par fives. The three par fives are the three easiest holes on the course, and there's also a drivable par four. Riviera is known as one of the best and most challenging courses on tour. Off the tee, golfers will see tight fairways, many fairway bunkers, and challenging doglegs, especially to left from left to right, which should favor right-handed golfers who hit a fade or lefties that play a draw. And I just lost my spot. Hold on real quick. There we go. There are trees, but the tree line is usually far away from the fairway, so golfers will have to miss wildly to have trees blocking their approach shots. The fairways and rough use Kikuyu grass. The grass is rare to the United States and could cause many problems if golfers hit it in the rough, especially if they have little experience with Kikuyu. Kikuyu grass is very popular on golf courses in South Africa and Asian countries, so that might be something to look at when selecting your golfers for DraftKings or FanDuel or whatever other DFS site you use this week. Though the rough won't be too tall, it is somewhat thick. For the most part, though, hitting it into this rough won't be too big of a deal, but there will be instances where the Kikuyu rough can grab and bury golf balls, making approach shots much more difficult to control or to get any spin. Hitting drives farther is definitely an advantage if golfers hit it into the rough this week. Hitting short irons out of the Kikuyu will make the course a lot easier, no matter the lie. Now, on the flip side, if golfers hit the fairways, their golf balls will sit up perfectly because of the spongy nature of the Kikuyu grass. But since there is a lot of slope on the fairways, golfers will have to deal with a lot of fade or draw lies. The greens use Poa and bent. They will be small, fast, around 12.5 on the centimeter, firm, undulating, multi-tiered, and surrounded by bunkers and false fronts. The sixth hole actually has a bunker right in the middle of the green, which should be entertaining. Once again, the weather can play a factor at this course. The wetter the conditions, the more it favors the longer golfer. So now, this week, it looks like it's pretty dry. There hasn't been too much rain here at Riviera for the last month or so. So the course should play firm and fast, and it could give the shorter hitters a little bit more of a chance, typically, than if the course was wet. Tambo, what stats are you looking for this week?
Yeah, a lot of the same, but I mean, it's a little, like you said, it's a little bit tighter. So off the tee, tee to green in general, approach, long irons, mix them together. Your birdies are better slash, you know, bogey avoidance. You know, you're not going to have a super high scoring event here, but or low scoring event, I should say. But I think that it's still important to mix in some of the bogey avoidance. You got to get there, right? You got to have that. And then greens and regulation, they are smaller though, like you mentioned. So around the green is important. We see, like you said, Augusta, like who's got the good hands around the greens. You know, we'll talk about the Bubbas, the Reeds, all those guys who will be popular, who won't be. But like I said, you know, a couple quick notes. One is, like I said, it's a course that can eat you up pretty quick. So it just because they have one good day, the leaderboard can still flip. It's going to be those big names. I mean, I think it's going to be a big name from the top more than what we'll get to. And I was just going to say that about a couple things on strategy. One is, I think a lot of people are going to go very balanced constructions because we'll get to DJ's price in a minute and start with him and go down. And then two, remember, I talk about this all the time, but this is one where it's going to finally show up. When you get what is quote unquote soft pricing or major style pricing, like a major, I think you can worry less about the ownership as a whole because it's going to be very spread out across the board and use it more for your sort of pivot spots and one-offs. If you say, okay, at the top, Rory and Rahm are going to be the set, you know, Rory's going to be three times as owned, then I get why you might want some Rahm in there. But I'm talking about in general, spread across your lineups. it's going to be more spread out than normal. We're not going to have all the same guys at 7,400 be extremely highly owned like some tournaments, right? We're not going to have the one guy that sticks out like a sore thumb, always, although we will talk about some. I just want to bring that point up one more time because I brought up in the past.
All right, so let's get to these tiers. 10K and up, we got Dustin Johnson, Tiger, JT, Rahm, and Rory. Who are you going with this week, Tambo?
To start, I mean, DJ is going to be silly chalk. Like, he might be the highest owned on the week because you can fit him in a lineup with Rory if you wanted, because even the guys at the bottom are strong, or there's enough guys down there that you can make work. And then you could just start your lineup with DJ, which I think a lot of people do in single entry and stuff like that. And we'll get to that when I get down to another guy and bring up a, sort of a point around roster construction. But here's the deal. Love JT. JT is my favorite of the three. 11,000, he's $600 less than Rory. He's the one with the real history here. Like I mentioned at the top, course form, course history, whatever you want to call it, recent form, everything coming in. Does he suit the course? All of that. He does. And he's got, you know, second last year, ninth the year before that, 5 for 5. He's got the most experience of the guys at the top. So I definitely like JT. But, between Rory and Rahm, I'm just going to say Rory. If, you know, Rahm could burn me, and he probably will. He's on an insane heater right now. I get it. He was ninth here in his first tryout last year. Stats set up perfectly. It's all over. But you can't, you can try, but you can't really play them all. So you can take certain stances on each of them. I get all that. I just prefer not to. And, risk reward with DJ last week. I'm feeling it. I'm running right into this week. I'm going to take Rory, JT, and then I'm going to figure out what I'm going to do with DJ. I don't know what you're doing with Woods, and you can talk about the rest or Rahm, but that's my take, Kenny.
What I'm doing with Dustin Johnson is I'm using him as my first cash game cornerstone. If you guys have been listening to the podcast enough, you know that my cash game cornerstones, I play less in GPPs because they're already taking up 40 to 45% of my weekly bankroll, because I make one lineup for my cash lineup, and I use that in about 45% of my bankrolls, usually all in single entry double ups. So what I'm going to do this week is, with the upside Dustin Johnson has and the course history that he has here, I'm going to go ahead and start with Dustin Johnson as my first cash game cornerstone. And that's going to be, keep me open to not having to use him too much in GPPs, because I do expect him to be extremely high owned once again. And I don't think he'll miss the cut either. So that's another thing. When you look at DJ up top, I think he makes for a good cash play. And then you could go light on him in GPPs if you want to go away from the highest owned golfer in the field, which I know a lot of you guys do. There's a lot of contrarian players out there, and that's, you know, a good way to go about it sometimes. Now, when it comes to the other two guys, I'm going to play Justin Thomas. The other four guys, I'm playing Justin Thomas. I'm on the same boat as you. He's probably my favorite play up here, especially since you can save about $600 from Rory. And I think him and Rory are about the same level when it comes to this this week. I think all of the top three are probably all, you can flip a coin with these three. So I'm going to go ahead and use Justin Thomas, because you're going to save a little bit of money, and it'll make it a little bit easier, because once you get down to like 6,300, 6,200, I mean, the choices are very, very slim this week. But, you know, 6,500, 6,800, there's some guys there that could be useful. And so I like the savings of the $600 for Justin Thomas. Now, I'll probably play one of the other two guys, Rory or Rahm. Tiger, it's his event. He has a lot of stuff he has to do for this event, a lot of obligations that he has, and he's never really played this course very well. Again, if you're going contrarian, he's going to be the lowest owned golfer in this 10K range, but I'm still not going to jump on board for that. So let's move on to this 9K range, and I'll go ahead and do my second cash game cornerstone. It's going to be Bubba Watson. I'm going course history here, big time. I mean, Bubba's won this event 3 times in the last 6 or 7 years. He's playing extremely good golf, some of the best golf he's played in years. So he has the form and he has the history. So, those are two things that are extremely important at this event specifically. I mean, sometimes you can go to an event where course history doesn't mean that much, but these last 2 weeks, they mean a lot, just looking at the trend. So I'm going to go Bubba as my second cash game cornerstone. I'm going to go Brooks this week. Here's the thing about Koepka and GPPs. You got to think this price, you'll never see this price, first off. Secondly, he has to be a little bit motivated. He lost the number one ranking in the world to Rory, who's in the field with him. He's still a big game hunter. This is a big game field. This is his type of time to shine when he has all these other stars around him. When he wants to make a point, he usually makes it, you know? And so I think Koepka would be a good play this week. And I'll play a little bit of Decky as well. Tee to green, he's been solid this year. He has a good track record here. The good thing about Decky, what I've noticed in the last few months, he's really limited his bogeys. I think he's fourth in bogey avoidance in this field in the last 50 rounds. And like you said during the stat part of the show, bogey avoidance is going to be very, very important just because there's not that many holes to capitalize on. There's not that many true scoreable holes other than the three par threes and the drivable par four. Everything else is pretty much a grind. A par is going to be a good score on most of the other holes. So if he can, if he can keep doing what he does on the par fives, and the drivable par fours and avoid those bogeys, which I think Hideki can do, I do like him as well. Who do you like in this range?
I definitely like Cantlay. One quick thing back to DJ. I said last week on the pod, the whole reason to fade was to hope he messes up, and then this week I get him at low ownership. But the problem is the tag, right? Like, at least him and Tiger should have been flipped to at least make it a decision, and then it would have been a little bit better pricing, in my opinion. But, I mean, that just sucks. So, I have something on that later. I'll get to it. I'm going to cover my bases there. I'll still have some DJ because I think it's important, and at that price, he can just crush you and take you right out of it. It just sucks they made him that price. I do think Cantlay is a viable pivot. Right at 9,800, right below him. Obviously, great form himself. Cali guy, Poa Greens, knows the course. Last two results, 15th and 4th. Definitely think he's a suitable. But my first, and it could have been Cantlay over him, but my first T3 of the week is going to be off of Bubba. I get it all. Listen, he has everything I talked about: the form, the suitability, the win. He's on his even year narrative. He won, withdrew, won 15th. So technically, he should win this year on that pattern. But at the end of the day, and before the 6 years ago, he won as well. So he's on the pattern to win for his fourth time in 8 years. But for me, that's why he's relegated to cash. I like Koepka, like you said. The biggest thing about Koepka, I'll give you the Justin Rae stat of the day if you want narrative. The last time Koepka played a tournament not ranked number one in the world was 2019 PGA, which he won. The last time Koepka played a tournament coming off four straight results outside of the top 15 was the 2017 US Open. He won. Like you said, they say there's no rivalry. We'll find out this week, because up top, Justin Thomas, I like as his price for $600 in savings, but I think there's no doubt Rory is the best golfer in this field. I mean, that to me anyway. So Koepka is like my opposite of Decky effect. If he's under 10K, I'm playing him. The last time I think we saw him at this price, probably Rick Gaiman or someone like that knows in their records of stats, but I think it was at the Masters last year. He was very close to that, and I had him in my best lineup, which came like 16th or 19th before everybody went in the water, and I'll do the same thing here. I'll build some balanced builds with Koepka. Can't like Koepka to get off DJ, things like that, but I think you can make it a little more unique. I like your take on Decky. I'm always in on Decky under 10K. You know this. It's a fair price. He's not five-figure priced. He's like the ninth price guy in the field. He can be your second or third guy even into the lineup, so I like Matsuyama here at 9,300. I think it's extremely fair. You mentioned the Augusta narratives. He always does pretty well there as well. So I think he can contend and do well at this course. But my big one is, the conundrum is sort of at the bottom here between X, Finau, and Scott. I mean, you're not going to be able to play everybody in this 9K range. The only one I really hate on is Watson a little bit, just because I don't want Chalk Bubba at almost 10K or at 9,600 or whatever. But I think X is probably the guy that stands out the most. I just worry, and what I would say, and what I mentioned earlier about roster construction, I think DJ X combinations will become extremely popular just because you can start with those two and feel like you've got a great beginning and have a lot of money to spend still. And we'll get to some of the guys below in a minute. But, I like X outside of those builds more so, but because we know what he's like in these little bit shorter fields. So this is not quite the shortness we're used to, but like WGCs or tournament or the playoff events. But at 120 people, it's sort of getting to that. So I like him. He's 15th, 9th here the last couple of years. Cali narrative again. Amazing recent form. Hard to ignore. And to me, personally, way more winning upside than Finau, who's right below. So that sort of makes my decision on Finau and Scott. It makes it easier to go to X. Did you have any take on X, Finau, Scott, those three at the bottom?
I'm really interested in what Finau will do because of the way he lost his last event. I mean, if you look over his career, he hasn't really been the best after a top three. If you look back at his Puerto Rico win, he missed the cut the next time he played. Again, he finished, third? At the Valero in 2017, missed the cut the next time he played at the Players. He finished second at the Safeway in 2017, finished 26th at the CJ Cup his next time out, second at the Genesis a couple years ago, 27th in Mexico. He hasn't been able to do the back-to-back thing. He did it during the FedEx Cup playoffs a couple years ago, but that's really the only time that he's really shined after a close call. And I worry about that, about the way he lost that event where he should have won. And then Webb just came through with, what, 4 birdies in the last 5 holes, including the playoff birdie on 18. It's got to be dig on him a little bit. I know he was cool. They had that song that came out.
I was just going to ask you about that, though. What, just a hypothetical, because shout out to Sam underscore Harop. I mean, that was incredible, by the way. I love my boy Tony, I said, but man, this man wrote a song about him. Would you feel, as an athlete, nothing to do with DFS, I know it has no effect on this whatsoever, but just a thought, would you be embarrassed that the song up came out about you, or would you be sort of proud that, you know, someone's out there writing a song about you after you, you know, came so close again? Because I know he has to shout it out on Twitter the way he did, which was very classy, etc. Obviously, Tony's a class act. Love the guy. But I thought that was an amazing song, but it's literally about him losing. So again, not being able to close. So how do you feel when you open up your Twitter feed and that's what's on there about you?
I mean, like, it just depends on how you are. I mean, Tony seems like the type of guy who would take it in stride, who wouldn't make that big of a deal out of it and not look poorly upon it. But you do, if somebody made a song about that, about Brooks Koepka or something like that, I think he'd be pissed, you know? Yeah. And I think that's the mind frame that different golfers have, and you have to seek and see which one, you know. That's why Koepka wins so much more often, I think. He's got that mental frame, his toughness. You know, it's great. You're right. Tony's a tough guy. I mean, Tony's a great guy. You know, this is all narrative. This is all me speaking from what I see based on sitting on my couch. So I don't really know 100%. I'm taking an educated guess. But it just doesn't seem mentally he has that thing, you know, that the phenol. He doesn't have that closing aspect of his game that you so need, which we saw, you know, Spieth have in his prime. You know, even though Spieth didn't have the talent that everyone else had, you know, he had that little spark mentally for when he had to make a shot, he knew he can make the shot. Koepka's the same way. Tiger, same way. Rory, same way. Yeah. You know, I don't think has that. And I think that's something that he can maybe learn, but it hasn't happened yet. And I worry about him. I worry about how his mental state is going to be after that loss. So I don't think I'm going to play Tony this week. The other two are fine. I like Adam Scott probably a little bit more just because he's been a beast at this course. Now you do worry he hasn't played in a while. So you got that going too. So there's so many different aspects to think about when you're trying to pick golfers. And that's what makes DFS fun. You know, because we don't know everything about these golfers, but we try to learn as much as we can and try to build a narrative based on their game, based on what we've seen. And that's just the way it goes, and that's why DFS is fun. All right, so let's move to this 8K range. Tambo, why don't you go ahead?
Yeah, I'll kick it off here. You know, I think there's going to be some love for Leishman because, you know, coming off the win, you know, the narrative did well here last year, solid, you know, results. But I think here's the thing. It's not going to be someone I love to chase at 8,700. So I'm not as high on that. Day interests me a little bit at the top, only because I know you said you didn't watch a lot on Sunday and it was, you know, almost unwatchable the first 3 days, but on Sunday I could definitely put a little bit in. That's when XFL became unwatchable. So definitely had to flip back over to the golf. So I would say Day was missing the putter, which is obviously unlike him. So I think if anything, you know, he's coming off a 4th, 16th before that. We already talked about him hitting more greens, that sort of thing. I think he's interesting. And if he's going to be under-owned, I'm definitely going to have a position there. But my second T3BO is going to be, again, like you mentioned him off the top, you know, people are talking a lot about Spieth. I don't know, as I always say, if they'll, you know, click the button. But for me, I got Reed over him, the villain. We love him. You know, we talk about him all the time. I love him. I think it was Mayo, actually, you know, you brought him up. I think it was him on the podcast when he said he was going to get you on that he said, you know, Reed at long courses has become a thing. And I know Reed's got a shitty course history here, but what? He played it 2 times. Who cares? He's got great recent form. I think people are going to jump back on Spieth. And it's not, like I said, that he wasn't really bad or anything. I just don't want to hop on him after one tournament. And now we move into somewhere where you got to be good all 4 rounds, a little bit tighter fairways, tougher course, tougher field, etc. So for me, I like Patrick Reed. You talk about the Masters narrative, the around the green, you know, thing, the way he's been playing. I just think it's too good of a play at too cheap of a price. The other guy, same deal, same. I could say all the same things, but with way better course history. 10 out of 11 made cuts here. Great recent form. Justin Rose, last 2 times he played here, 4th and 16th. I don't know why he's priced at 8,500 when he used to be 11,000. I know, you know, sometimes the results and recent form and all that. But I mean, before his most recent missed cut, it was a 2nd, 5th, 20th, 21st. I mean, those are fine numbers from an $8,500 golfer that used to be number one in the world like last year or the year before, whatever it was. So I think Rose and Reed, and then always got love for Answer. Been a truther all year, any field. 2 for 2 made cuts here, so he has at least seen it. And he made the cut both times. His recent form since the President's Cup, Kenny, has just been unreal. I think at 8,200, it's more than fair for a guy we've seen. And he's like a – this will come across wrong to everybody, I'm sure, but he's like a mini Rory off the tee. Like, he's not the lengthwise, but he does pound it out there straight every time. And it's right where he wants it to be. And then he has good irons, and he has all that stuff to go with it, can make putts, can play down the stretch. I think when you were talking about mentality earlier, I think he has it. I think we're just waiting to see it come out a little bit more. But he's obviously got wins under his belt. So I think Answer's a great play at 8,200. Who do you got in this range?
One thing I will talk about, Reed, I think the reason why, like I did say in the course preview, this course favors a fade for right-handed golfers. And, you know, for the most part in his career, Reed didn't have a go-to fade shot. He's a drawer of the golf ball. But if you've watched his game the last 12 months, he's incorporated the Arnie chicken wing fade. And it looks funny, but it's been working pretty well. And I think people will see the fact that he hasn't played well here in the past. And he does draw the ball all the time on the course. That does favor the fade. But his fade is coming around. That chicken wing little Arnie, you know, type fade. I've seen him hit that shot confidently here in the last 6 months. And I think that could help him a bunch, especially, you know, on these smaller greens. You know, the short game's good. You know, his putting is solid. His iron game overall has been a lot better than it has been in the last 6 months in the previous year. Before that, he doesn't make too many bogeys. I like Reed a lot this week, and I don't know what his ownership will be because of his poor course history and how strong course history plays into this event when it comes to trends and people who do well here. But I like Patrick Reed a lot this week. I like Jason Day as well. I'm on him also because the iron game, it looks like it's improving, and that's, you know, been his bugaboo, basically. And he's definitely long enough to go and do this. And he's actually been pretty good from like 400 to 450 yards, those par fours. And I think there's a good amount of those, and there's a good amount from 450 to 500. So I do like those two a lot for GPPs. And then Colin Morikawa is going to be my third cash game cornerstone at $8,100. There could be worry that he hasn't played this course before, but he's made every cut on every course this season that he's never played before. So I'm not too worried about that. He is the best iron player in this field in the last 50 rounds. And the 23-year-old Colin Morikawa is the best iron player in this field in the last 50 rounds. How amazing is that? You know, we have Rory, we have JT, we have Rom, we have Tiger, you know, we have DJ, and Colin Morikawa is the best iron player in this field the last 50 rounds. So I'm going to go with him. He's very good from 150 to 200 yards, you know, proximity from 150 to 200, but the majority of approach shots are going to be in that range. He's good enough on the par fives. His iron game, like I said, spectacular. Tee to green, he is excellent. Fifth in his field in the last 50 rounds. So Morikawa is going to be my third cash game cornerstone. And the thing is, the other guys, I'm not really the biggest fan of anyone else in this range. That's why I can see myself going stars and scrubs a lot this week. A couple of guys, maybe two or three guys to start all my lineups above $9,000, because I think, you know, with this field and the way this field has gone and the top golfers all playing, it's going to be one of those guys up top that wins this event. All right, so let's move to this 7K range. Tambo, go ahead and get us started.
Yeah, love it right off the top, man. Paul Casey, unreal price, 7,900. I don't know if you'd be the judge if you could use them in cash. I definitely think you could. For me, 7,900, extremely fair price. You know, 7 for 8 made cuts, you know, 5 straight here. He's got decent recent form, had one bad result. But beyond that, you know, of his last 30 events on tour, 25 of them he's made the cut, and 20 of them have been top 25s. This is definitely a spot. So him and Bryson are the two there that I like right out of the gate, just as guys that are big names that I definitely did not expect to see under $7,900. I'm sure some people out there like their betting odds, especially with Bryson being like 50 to 1. For me, it's those two. And then my third T3O is going to be Sergio Garcia. I'll take him over Matt Fitzpatrick. We've seen a tendency this year, people to bounce back and go back. Now they see Fitzpatrick is $2,000 cheaper. He still made the cut for them, but then he burned them. But before that, he was on fire and people love his game. So I think some will go back there. I don't know if this is going to be what I'll say is this. I don't think this is going to be a huge ownership. It might even be switched the other way by the time we get to Thursday when tee off. But I will say I'm taking a stand. Like, I just probably will have zero Fitzpatrick and let him run into the ditch and see what happens there. And if I get burned, I get burned. I'll take Garcia over him. I don't mind our other villain, our boy Kuchar, right? 12 for 13 made cuts. That to me means something. His recent form has been solid. You know, a lot of people were talking about, we mentioned it last week, that, you know, people thought he wasn't doing much. He won overseas. I know it was a weak ass field, but he won. Then he got 16th, now 38th. His stats line up. Talk about the Augusta narrative again. It fits all that. I like him. Another, you know, oldie but goodie a little bit, as far as, you know, people sort of overlook him, is my boy Kevin Na. I really like Kevin Na here. I think, you know, course history strong, 10 for 16. Three straight made cuts, including a second and a fourth. I really don't think he's going to get super popular, even though his course history is good here, of a second and a fourth in two of the last 3 years and coming off a 14th. It's just sort of one of those guys that always flies under the radar. No one seems to want to play him at any number. So at 7,600, I think it's more than fair. You could use him in all your builds, I think. And then you get into that giant cluster, right? So I would say between, you look at Howell, Cam Smith, Cam Champ, Ryan Palmer, and Scheffler, and then we'll, you know, you can take over this top range. I think out of those guys, if I'm taking a stand, guys, it's going to be with Cam Champ. Bombs it out there. We didn't talk a lot about the bomber narrative. I know he hasn't made a cut here yet, but playing way better golf right now. I think he's got it back. I really like him for 7,900. And then Palmer and Scheffler right below that. I think Scheffler could be a bit sneaky at the lowest price we've ever seen. So he was, you know, 70. I mean, what he used to be, 89, 99, doesn't matter. But I know the fields are way less strong. But at this point, at 7,400. I mean, even Vegas agrees, has his number at like 110. Some of the guys around him are 125. I think he can, you know, he can bomb it. We know that. He has upside. Before his couple of missed cuts, he had a third and a fifth. So he's definitely got that upside. We're talking about packing that upside into your lineup. I think he's the guy. And I just saw, I forget who put it out there, I apologize, but someone put it on Twitter, well, he didn't make the cut last year. I believe he made he got in via a queue. So maybe it was Monday Q Info, and said that he made it at this course to get in. So I think that was huge, just as a sort of something in the back of his mind that says that. So I like Scheffler for that top range of the 7K. What do you got, Kenny?
I think Bryson's one of my favorite plays on the board. If you look at the way we all know that he's all about the bombs now. You know, he gained all that weight. But the last time I saw him out, he's hitting those drives pretty straight and very, very long. You know, and that's the thing. You know, the one thing you worry about golfers who, when they specifically target one part of their game so hard, is they lose other aspects. And you sort of saw that with Bryson, you know, the last time he came out. But prior to that, you know, he was in the lead in a Euro event with going into the back nine, and then he got the time warning, and he bogeyed four of his last nine holes to fall out of the lead about 3 weeks ago overseas in Europe. So the game is there. His irons are great. They weren't great, but they're above average that week. If he can keep hitting 320-yard carry drives on or around the fairways and not too wild, because like I said, Kikuyu Rough, you know, most of the time it's not going to be that tall. He should be able to, you know, miss a little bit and still be able to get it with a short iron in his hand after pounding a drive 330 yards. I like Bryson at this price range a lot. I probably wouldn't use him in cash, but I do like Bryson. One of my favorite GPP plays in this range. He's been putting pretty well recently. If he could just get those irons down for, you know, like he did a few weeks ago, I mean, he can win this event, I think. So I do like Bryson. I do like Sergio a lot. He's been playing pretty well on the European Tour. It's all been on the European Tour so far this season, but he's had a really couple of nice, really solid finishes, top fives, top tens here and there. He's played this course very, very well. I think he is cash viable. I do like Kevin Na a little bit, and even though he doesn't fit the bomber narrative, the thing about it is the course should be dry, should be firm. He hits it in a fairway, it should get a little bit of roll. So it should, you know, these drier conditions should give these shorter guys a little bit more of a chance compared to the years where it's been wet and soft. So I do like the Na play. I like Cameron Champ, just like you. Scottie Scheffler, I'm not 100% sure on. The reason about that is I still haven't seen him really do well on tough courses. And this is a tough course. You know, birdie bomb, you know, birdie like mad courses, he usually does well on those. I haven't seen him do well on a tough, you know, classical track yet. We'll see how it goes. He could change my mind, so I don't think I'm going to use him. And I'm going to go with my last cash game cornerstone. It's going to be Alexander Noren at $7,300. The one thing about Noren's game that has changed a little bit this year is, like Bryson, maybe not as, you know, visually, you know, identifiable as Bryson, but he's really been working on the length of his drives. He's hitting the ball a lot farther off the tee this year than he ever has in his life. And it seems like it's been helping him with a bunch of top, you know, top finishes. No, yeah, I don't think he's finished outside the top 35 in a single event this season yet. He's playing good golf. He placed 16th here a couple of years ago. He knows how to play this course. So I'm going Noren as my final cash game cornerstone. So my four cash game cornerstones this week: Dustin Johnson at 10,000, Bubba Watson at 9,600, Colin Morikawa at 8,100, and Alexander Noren at 7,300. This leaves you 15,000 to finish out the rest of your lineup. I do like Joaquin Niemann a little bit. Tee to green, exceptionally solid. He's played here once before, made the cut. Really good on long par fours. Seventh in this field in par four efficiency from 450 to 500 yards. Really good from 150 to 175. You're looking at around 30% or so of approach shots going to be from that proximity range. He's second in the field in these last 50 rounds. So I do like him a little bit. And I like Corey Connors at $7,000. Again, tee to green guy. The tee to green specialists dominate this type of course. And he's been hitting a ton of greens, first in greens in regulation in this field in the last 50 rounds. So I do like Corey Connors a bit. And I might throw in a little bit of Matthew Kokrak and Matthew Wolf. I like this bottom range of the 7K, 7K area a lot. So that's why I'm leaning towards going stars and scrubs, having a few guys up top, finishing off with this low 7K range, one guy in a 6K range. That's how I think I'm going to go about making the majority of my lineups. Anybody else in this bottom 7K range, or should we move on to the 6K?
No, I got a couple more, and I want to make one quick note because, first off, shout out Chris Garosi. I looked it up. It was Scheffler made the field by winning the Monday Collegiate Showcase last year to get the last spot in the field. So there is a little something there. Again, like you say, it's someone you could be sold on, I think. 7,400 is just the best price we'll probably ever see on him, you know, this season, I think, in an event like this. So for me, I'll take some there. But yeah, one more quick note on this range. Go build 10 lineups right now and watch how many guys you have from the 7K range. And I get that there's a few of them, but I mean, it's not like it's the whole field or anything. There's like 25 to 30. It's not going to be a big majority, but this is the area where you're going to want to get different and get a little bit more unique. So when the ownership projections come out at Gupp's Corner or wherever you get them from, make sure that you're looking at who's, you know, heavily owned in this range, because this is going to be where you have a difference maker and you're going to want that guy. Like, can Scheffler win this tournament? Probably not. Can he outdo a Palmer who's right there if Palmer ends up being chalky? Yes. So that's where you're going to want to make your pivots. The one you mentioned, Niemann, he might be the guy that gets popular down here, but I just can't have zero at that price. Another guy I think is extremely fair price, 7,300. Noren, who you mentioned, I like. I'll go back a little bit to Knox. Kokrak, who you mentioned. And then the last two I'll mention quick, but Nick Taylor, if no one's going to go back to him, I will. Like I said, super impressive. It wasn't like one thing that led him there. As I mentioned, I get there's no weather, but it was wire to wire, three course rotation, and still came through on Sunday when a lot of guys were shooting 75s and above. So I got no problem with that. He's 4 for 5, made cuts here, missed the cut 5 years ago, made the cut all 4 years since, with, you know, a 33rd last year, 41st last year, obviously not coming off a win or anything like that, but I'll definitely go back. Kokrak, who I mentioned, made the tour championship last year. I mean, this guy has it in him. He's 7 for 8 made cuts here. Again, using a lot of course history. He just missed a cut, but before that, 21st, missed cut, 8th. I mean, he's had some results in there. We know he can do it. But you mentioned my favorite play. Don't care how chalky he gets. He is a first timer. It may scare some people away, but Corey Connors, way too cheap in my eyes. You talk about first timer and Masters narratives. How'd the guy do last year? Off a Monday Q, into a field, wins, gets into the Masters, and did pretty damn well for himself. So everything you mentioned with the ball striking, the recent form, etc., and then you add that on top, to me, that's a difference maker. I like Corey Connors at 7,000 straight.
That sounds good. Let's move on to the 6K range. One of my favorites, Lanto Griffin. Now, here's a stat that Rick Gaiman at Rick Rungood, if you don't follow him, you should. He's on Mayo. He's one of the best. He has his own podcast on CBS Sports. Really one of the better guys. I used to work for him. Really, really, really good guy. He has this stat on Lanto Griffin. The last 12 times that Lanto Griffin has been priced under $7,500, he's returned at least 10 times his price in 11 of them. So he scored more than 75 points. In 11 of his 12 times, he's been under $7,500. I know he had those two missed cuts, but he played well last week, $6,800. I think it's a great price for somebody who has good upside, 75, 80 point, 90 point DK upside. I like him a lot. I like JT Poston for cash. The guy rarely misses a cut. His iron game is above average, and his putting is excellent. He's made the cut here a couple of times in two tries with a nice solid finish last year. Other guys in this range that I do like here a little bit. I'm going back to my Korean brethren, James Han. Again, another course history buff guy who plays well here. Won here about 5 years ago. Luke List down here, I think was a $6,300, $6,400. Playing better golf recently. Plays well here. His game seems like this is the type of course that he could do well at. You know, we've always been waiting for that Luke List, you know, outburst, and maybe it'll come this week. Kevin Chappell showing a little bit last week. But prior to his injury, he was one of the best out there from tee to green. And I think that's slowly coming back. And at $6,300, I think it's definitely worth a risk. Patrick Rogers at $6,800, even though he missed the cut last week when a lot of people were on him. This course suits him way better than those courses in the Monterey Peninsula did last week. Longer course. He has the length. 17th in driving distance in this field. One of the better putters out there. I think this course suits him better than last week's Pebble. I'm not even going to count that when I think of looking at him for this week. So I like Patrick Rogers. Who do you like in the 6K range?
A lot of the same guys, so I won't rehash all of them. I like your post and take. You mentioned Lanto Griffin. He's a guy I like. Aaron Wise, still a bit of a sucker for him after, you know, especially after he burned me and everybody else last week. He looked like he kind of had something together. I just, again, think he's got too much upside at a price like $6,700 where I can't just leave him alone. He'll be, you know, low-owned on my list. But, you know, speaking of List, who you mentioned, definitely like your call there. 15th, 26th, the last 2 years, 3 for 4 made cuts, coming off of 25th and a 36th his last two times out. I know our boy at Sundog Monkey, he wrote him up. He's got some good points on him there. If you guys don't have him yet, check him out. At Sundog Monkey on Twitter, another good follow. You know, Von Taylor, always a sucker. 8 for 13, though, made cuts here. 9th last year, 20th the year before. His two missed cuts are burning people. I'm going to be on him, though. I'll tell you what, he missed both either on the number and then off by one or vice versa. But it was, I mean, he's on right now. He's got his game. And if it is going to be, like you mentioned, less, you know, more firm, I should say, I'm okay with a guy like him here because he's accurate. He does his thing. And that's where how he gets these results. Even before his 9th and 20th, you know, just 5 years ago, he had a 22nd. So, I mean, he's got some good results coming in besides, you know, missing the cut on the number these last two. And I think he's fair price at $6,600 to make some of your lineups. James Han, who you mentioned, you know, Baddeley, another one stands out to me because of experience and history. 14 for 17 made cuts, 49th and 14th the last 2 years, coming off of 25th. He's got great hands around the green. Really like his game as a low-owned sleeper at $6,300. And then Varner, my boy HV3, just tweeted out. You should go retweet it when you hear this podcast. HV3 Foundation, Gups Corner does a lot of work with them. We've got custom HV3 shirts you can go get to support the foundation. But he's rocking the Mamba shoes this week for the big memorial thing they're having. He's going to auction them off after. I mean, I don't think I can win them, but I'd love to. Man, that would be nice because they're sick shoes. They're Jordans. Jordan golf shoes. Those are so sick that he's going to give away. So, but I like him at 6,200. At least he's seen the course 5 times. He's made the cut 3 times. I know he's having some, you know, rough patches lately, but like, what was it? It was a, you know, 32 par in a row at the Waste Management, and then goes birdie, bogey to finish on the one off, the, you know, basically on the number. He missed the cut. So, you know, that sucked, but 6,200, I got to go down there for my boy HV3. It's not just a homer thing. I think he's a great play. Kenny, one guy we forgot to mention, I'm done in the 6Ks unless you got anything else, but I want to go back. Molinari, 7K straight. What are you doing with Molinari this week in GPPs?
Probably not playing him. His game just hasn't been the same since you know, since the water ball in the Masters. I don't think he's gonna have a single top 10. At least not on the PGA Tour. Maybe.
What about if this is his redemption, though? This kind of feels like Spieth last week. You and I had a very similar conversation. You know, clicked it back and forth for a minute, and I said, you know, I think this could be Spieth this week. And I'm saying, but don't listen to me. I'm an idiot. Fade DJ, play Spieth is what I'm saying. But yeah, this feels like that. Molinari back at a Tiger event. Everyone says that Tiger broke him, and that was his, you know, demise. And imagine he gets his regains it back at this tournament at Tiger's Genesis and gets the W. At 7K, what do you think?
Yeah, it's not happening, dog.
Crazy.
And it's not going to happen, dog. If it does, good for him. But I ain't going to be on him. I'll take that L. Okay.
I'm playing Molinari this week, just for the record. So 7,000, right. I got to get on him. We forgot to talk about him, but I'm doing it.
All right, so what do you got for bets this week, Tambo?
Only got 5 this week, Kenny. And it's because, like you said, I think someone's winning it up top. So I already handled my DJ love. I know there's a lot of Koepka love out there. I know there's a lot of, you know, other guys, Bubba love even. I like DJ. I said I would just try and find a way to make it happen some way, shape, or form. I really like DJ 14-1. I'll bite the bullet there, and that obviously, you know, hinders the rest of the card quite a bit, so I can't go too much beyond that. But, you know, I can still get like a 6-1 with these 5 guys on my money. Decky, 28-1. I don't know. Like, he never wins, man, but I just got a feeling. And here, I like him in DFS. I like him for a bet. I think it's, you know, it's going to pop at some time, and if he does, it's going to be at a course like this. So I do like Decky, and then my two I mentioned earlier are right above each other in DFS, and they're the same number bet wise that I got them at. Reed and Rose, both at 40-1. I'm taking that all day. And then I like Kevin Na, 80-1. I got him with the each way. So that's for a top 5 or better. I think Kevin Na's got 2 of those in the last 3 years, and he could do it again, especially, like I say, if it's not going to be as firm. I think this is the spot. That's my 5 pack. What do you got, Kenny?
All right. I got 5 also this week. I got Bubba at 18-1 this week.
Yep.
Cantley at 20-1. Bryson at 50-1, Sergio at 66-1, and Noren at 100-1. Those are going to be my 5. What are you doing for a one and done there, brother?
I kind of like your card better. Hearing that, that sounds good actually. So we'll see how we do there. But I like having DJ up there at 14. But I mean, I like your Cantlay, your Sergio, all those guys that you mentioned. One and done again, options guys. I'm looking at, you know, you could use DJ here. I think it's definitely a tournament you could use him at. You can use Bubba. If you want to have sort of a hedge life going in DFS, obviously the guy wins almost every second. Well, he has won every second year, as we talked about. Brooks, kind of if you want to fade him in DFS and just play him to win and go off that narrative, I definitely could see merit to that. And then Decky, Finau, Rose, any of those guys if you want to sort of use another tier down below.
All right, that sounds good. Before we finish, what do you do? What are you getting your wife for Valentine's Day? It is Valentine's Day week. What are you getting your wife?
Nothing. And the thing is this, right?
You're getting her nothing after no, she lets you go on listen, vacation?
Listen, listen. Yeah, I was just going to say, I knew you were going to bring that up. I knew you were going to bring that up.
Nothing?
Yeah, I'm going to give her a heads up that I'm going to the Honda. I didn't tell her yet. No, I'm just kidding. I'm not doing that. She knows well about that. No, what we're actually doing is I am getting her something, but we like to do sort of like a family gift, right? So we're going to plan a trip for, I think, and I haven't broke the news to you yet, so I'll break it on air. And I'll probably still be around for the pod, of course, but the week of the Zurich. Right. There's not much going on. So I think we're going to go away somewhere, maybe Hawaii or something like that. I want a trip through work. So I'm going to, we're going to do that. And you get, you know, they pay for that. But if it's like Hawaii, you got to pay for all the other shit. So instead of buying the stupid box of chocolates or a bag or something or a ring or whatever the hell she wants else. And she is the best wife, no doubt. I'm just saying, we're going to plan the trip and go for that. Do you got a shorty for the night, or what do you got on that go?
No, not dating anyone right now because, you know, I can reel them in. I just can't keep them. You know, that's the way I
only need them for one night.
I'm a server at a restaurant, so it's one of our biggest nights. I'll make like $1,000 Friday and Saturday. But I do have one thing for Valentine's Day. This is an excerpt from my favorite love song. We'll end the pod on this for all the 4 women that listen to our podcast.
Yeah.
This is from Uchiwali by Nas. All right, here we go. I'll do it in my poetry voice. Knee along in a cherry thong with the lights on. Sipping Perignon with Kelly Price on. I pull out my python. I hit it while my wife's gone. Long dick the bitch all night. I'll make her pussy sing this song. All right, guys, that's going to be it for this week. Campbell, tell them where they can find you, brother.
My God, that's hard to follow up. GubsCorner.com, promo code DGEN10. We'll leave it at that. Everything's there. Kenny mentioned the tools, the Slack. You know, come for the tools and content, stay for the community. I keep preaching that. Find me on Twitter at Toe Tag and Tambo. If you don't follow me there, hit me up there, DM message me any questions. I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
You can find me on GubsCorner.com as well. My article is already out for this week. My course preview, my stats to look for. Wednesday night, I release my favorite cash game plays and my cash game cornerstones, if you don't listen to the podcast, on Gups Corner. You know, you can find me on their Slack chat. You can find me on Twitter at KendoVT. All right, Degenerate Nation, this is going to be a hell of a week. It's a great tournament. The field is great. I am pumped. Let's win some motherfucking money. Degen Nation.